We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And so far, a safe Friday, July the 12th. Let's hope it stays that way. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. And yes, if you've ever been here to see me before, even if you haven't, but you know the restaurant, I've got my back to the river. As I turn over my left shoulder right now, water level's incredibly good. So again, everybody, knocking on wood, everybody crossing their fingers, but right now, we're in that calm before the storm stage. For the next 2.5 hours, we'll take your mind off of that with great sports talk. We'll also give you updates on the latest with Tropical Storm Barry. Many of those will come courtesy of my man, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Quickly a story, and then I get right to your biggest national story when it comes to sports, and it is Russell Westbrook heading to the Houston Rockets, and then maybe how OKC is sort of in the same boat as the New Orleans Pelicans. But I mentioned the 237 Roof Studios. Happened again today. Got a text. Somebody who listens to the show regularly. He says, hey, I want to call him. Should I call? I need preventative help. I said, absolutely. Plugged him right in. They called 237-ROOF, 237-7663. Darren and company rushed out, got a tarp over. Again, it's a preventative measure, but it might just help you a little bit. You're not having to do as much on the reactive side after the weekend to come. So make sure you got the number handy, 237-ROOF. I mentioned and tipped my hand a little bit. We're going to be talking Russell Westbrook, career Oklahoma City Thunder player until last night. Now he's going to play with the former Thunder buddy, James Harden, in Houston. And my reaction to that duo is this. I think it can work. I wouldn't be willing to bet that it's going to work to the tune of being one of the best two or three teams in the West. Yeah, you can give me the Clippers ahead of them. You could probably even give me Utah ahead of them. I think with the healthy Klay Thompson, you could still give me Golden State ahead of them. Then we could start to have a conversation about where the Lakers are, where the Trailblazers are. I think that's the range, even with Russell Westbrook, that the Rockets kind of fall in. So this is something that could help them keep afloat in the West, talking about the Houston Rockets. It's something that allowed Mike D'Antoni and company to get rid of that albatross of a contract that is Chris Paul's. And so it's something that both players wanted, and good on OKC for accomplishing a few things. One, OKC let their guy go where he wanted. They did right by Russ, even though it was obvious he wanted out. They also got back tremendous value, in my opinion. Chris Paul, which, trust me, is going to be flipped like a hotcake. He ain't staying with the Thunder. They'll move him for even more first-round draft picks, and yeah, they already got two of those out of the deal yesterday. Plus, let's not forget what they got in return for Paul George heading to the Clippers. And so I can think of two New Orleans-based ties, and I'll introduce both of them in this opening segment. Number one, you remember when CP3, way back when, before Anthony Davis, Chris Paul wanted to bolt the New Orleans Hornets. He did it with more class, more decorum than the Brow did, but still he wanted out. Ironically, like AD, he wanted to go play for the Lakers, but David Stern nixed that. He ended up going to the Clippers. He wanted to go win a championship. Got sort of close, I guess you could say. Never to the NBA Finals, but he got to the doorstep a few times with the Clippers and, well, didn't work out. To the doorstep a few times, including Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals with James Harden and the Rockets, but, yeah, didn't quite get there. And so I've seen it written, I've heard it said in certain circles today, some bitter New Orleanians, in my opinion, that Chris Paul, a basketball failure, and I think I even read somewhere a basketball abortion. Wow. let's walk that back a little bit. The man plays for teams that are awfully good in the Western Conference, but here's what I will tell you. The true greats, unless they want to, they never get traded. LeBron has wanted to get traded, but Kobe, think he was going anywhere but the Lakers. MJ, ditto with the Bulls. I know, he played for the Wizards, different circumstances there. He wanted to, he retired, that was his way back in. But it's amazing to me, Chris Paul from the Hornets, to the Clippers, to the Rockets, to the Thunder, and oh yeah, he will end up somewhere else. And so I won't slap CP3 with some of the harsh labels I've heard and seen elsewhere, but I will tell you, as great of a teammate as we always hear he is, his legacy not looking great as this thing continues to kind of snowball downhill. The other NOLA connection, as I mentioned, there are so many similarities between the Thunder and the Pelicans right now. Both are stockpiled with future draft picks. The Pels don't have them quite as far out. I mean, quite literally, I believe into like 2027. If I read correctly for the Thunder, they're not going that far out for the Pels. And they also have the luxury of, you know, Zion Williamson. But it's incredible right now to watch how some of these smaller and medium market size teams, to watch how they are rebuilding when stars leave their midst. We got plenty more on this topic, and trust me, we're going to get to it shortly. On the other side of this break, Brett Dawson formerly covered the New Orleans Hornets / Pelicans. Now he covers OKC for The Athletic. He's leaving Vegas Summer League Ball. We're going to catch up with Brett Dawson to get more on this trade and maybe a little more on how those fans feel about Westbrook and what Sam Presti and the Thunder organization is going to do moving forward. So Brett Dawson, our only scheduled guest in hour one. You'll get him in about 4 minutes. At 5:15, Lee DeLeon, he is the new executive director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. That news came out this morning. This afternoon, he joins B2BS. How about that for acronym play? We'll talk RCAF on B2BS. Lee DeLeon coming aboard at 5:15, and a Q&A replay, all the latest you need on LSU recruiting and in-state recruiting from Shea Dixon. Go247.com at 6:15. Clint and I today with you until 6:30. That's Astro Launch, Game 2 of the Stros at the Rangers. First pitch is at 7:05. It'll be Garrett Cole versus Jesse Chavez. So don't go anywhere. Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Back in from break, just about a quarter after 4 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. We know, locally and frankly in the whole Gulf Coast region, the biggest story of the day and the weekend is Tropical Storm Barry. The threat of Hurricane Barry, trust me, we'll have you covered there. In fact, in our next segment, a full update, not just on the latest twists and turns, but maybe some shelter updates for you as well. We'll provide that right after the half-hour break. But the biggest story of the day nationally, it happened last night. Russell Westbrook, a career Oklahoma City Thunder buddy, whatever you call it. Now he's going to Houston, and we got to get reaction on that. Making his way from Vegas to Oklahoma City, we'll catch him somewhere in between, I believe. It's time to bring aboard Brett Dawson with The Athletic, Oklahoma City.
Brett, great to have you on the show and have you talking Oklahoma City Thunder basketball. It's been a while since we talked. How are you?
Doing well. Just a little busy this week, actually, believe it or not.
We do believe it, and we know that you're making your way, planes, trains, automobile style, away from Las Vegas. But talk to us a little bit, anatomy of a deal. And so when everything goes down with Paul George, the report comes out that management will sit down with Russell Westbrook. From then until last night, how did everything transpire?
Well, I think, you know, as Michael Lee and I reported at The Athletic last night, he had his sights set on Houston from the very beginning. That was his plan. I think soon after the Paul George trade request happened, and I don't think Russell was caught off guard by the Paul George request in quite the same way some other people were, but once it was officially on the table and the trade went through, Russell and James Harden, I think, were in communication soon after that. Russell always wanted to play in Houston from the moment this got set in motion. Miami was a backup option. I don't think Miami was ever very serious. I don't think they were willing to give up some of the pieces that the Thunder would have liked in a trade, like Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo. Because I think it was in a situation where, you know, if they were going to have Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler, they felt like they needed those guys on rookie deals who could contribute, because those other two guys would be taking up such a big part of their cap. So Houston was always the choice. It was always his first choice. And the Thunder were very committed, from talking to everybody I talked to from different sides of this, very, very committed to getting him to his first choice, getting him to a place that he wanted to be. If he had to settle on Miami, I think that would have been okay. But his distinct and constant preference was Houston. And they really worked to get it done. I think the Chris Paul contract was going to have to be a part of that. And so in order to take that on, they got a couple of picks. And it's really a historic week for them. It's not what they wanted, but they walk out of this week with 8 draft picks, 8 future first-round picks they didn't have a week ago.
What a haul. And I want to get into that here momentarily. Our guest, Brett Dawson. You should follow him on Twitter, at BDawsonWrites, and then the words, theathletic.com. And one of your latest stories indicates it's not just the connection with James Harden. They played together 2009 to 2012. It's also playing in Mike D'Antoni's system. Why is that important for Russ?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, you know, and listen, some of this, when I tell you this, there are going to be people who roll their eyes, and that's fair. I mean, you can get to that. But I think Russell wants to be surrounded by some more shooters. He wants to have a little bit more freedom in the lane. He wants the lane to be a little more open. D'Antoni is not really a guy who posts the ball very much. And so I think the sense that Michael and I got in reporting that story was that Russ felt like if he could beat his man off the dribble, there was going to be more space for him to operate, more shooting around him. Now, to be fair to the Thunder, if you take Russell Westbrook off the Thunder last year and you take James Harden off the Rockets, they're pretty comparable three-point shooting teams. The biggest problem with the Thunder as a three-point shooting team in recent years has been Westbrook doesn't make many and he takes a lot. So he's a big part of the problem with the shooting. It's not, you know, when you say they have a better system for shooters, yes, they do. They shoot more of them. They put more volume people around Harden. They certainly do shoot more and make. But in terms of the percentages, they don't have dramatically better shooters outside the point guard. Harden is an excellent shooter, though. And Westbrook not. So he'll be playing with Harden. He'll be playing with some other guys to shoot the ball. Defenses will adjust to him differently. And I think for him, you know, he's been in Oklahoma City his entire career, 11 years. He's had two coaches, both of whom have kind of played to his style of play. You know, the running joke in the league has always been their style of play is Westbrook. And I don't know that he was ever going to change for the Thunder. I don't know. I think his habits and his stamp on the franchise was such that it was going to be hard for anybody to change him. I think going into a new setting, going to a place where another player, James Harden, is the established guy, I think he'll be more receptive to change than he ever was going to be here. And I do think he'll play well. And I think probably smart for him to see that he needed something different than what he's been doing.
Brett, maybe one or two more on Russ, and then I want to ask about the future of the franchise in Oklahoma City and what Sam Presti's looking at next. But how is OKC feeling today? I know you've been in Vegas, but you've been checking on everybody in Oklahoma City on Twitter. What's the response so far, and how much love do they have for Russell Westbrook, given the fact that he's weathered the storm when so many others have left?
Yeah, the love part of it, I think, is almost, you know, unwavering. People love Westbrook, and they have such an affinity for him. And I wrote about this today in passing in my story. It's odd in a way because he's so outwardly hostile and the city itself is so aggressively hospitable. They almost go out of their way to make you think that they're nice. They don't care just about being nice. They want you to know that they are nice. It's a reputation that Oklahoma City really prides itself on. But the flip side of Westbrook is he also played with this incredible chip on his shoulder. He was the number 4 pick when people thought he shouldn't be. He didn't get recruited famously in high school by UCLA until very, very late. He was going to go to a much smaller school before that. And he's always sort of been, in a way, one of the few superstars who came into the NBA as kind of an underdog. And he's always relished that role. And that's the way the city feels about itself, that it is an underdog, that it took so long to get pro sports. And then, I mean, you know, in no small part, Kevin Durant left, and he didn't. He stayed put when Durant chose to go somewhere else and James Harden got traded. And he was the guy who wrote it out all that time. He was the loyal guy. And so it's hard for fans. It's hard to see him go. It's hard to see him go, I think, to the place where Harden is, to a place that's been a sort of a rival team to them over the past couple of years. They lost to them in the playoffs a couple of years ago. All that stuff is difficult, and I think emotionally this is all very challenging for Thunder fans. I think there are a lot of them who, on the logical side, understand that once Paul George pulled the trigger, it was time for this to happen. You had rebuilt around Westbrook with Victor Oladipo. You had rebuilt around with Paul George, and you didn't really get anywhere in either setting. And so the idea that maybe you'd go try to find the next guy with the assets that you had probably wasn't wise and probably wasn't something that either party was particularly interested in doing. I think they both wanted to go their separate ways. And I think fans are, many of them are intrigued by the possibility. Some of them are disappointed and talking about giving up tickets. And I think they're reacting in the way that almost anybody would react to losing kind of the signature player of the franchise.
Brett, does Westbrook get an unfair rap nationally as being whatever you want to call it, a black hole, a ball hog, and a guy that he's not going to take a team there to the promised land as its best player?
To me, he's the most polarizing guy in the league, and I think that most of the criticism and most of the praise of him are fair. He's a great player. He impacts the game in ways that very few people do. I mean, you have to account for him every minute he's on the floor offensively, and there are just aren't that many guys like that. I think it's become so in vogue to bash him, and it's become so in vogue to say that he just chases triple-doubles at the expense of winning, and yet they've won most of these games. They've won a better percentage of the games when he gets them than when he doesn't. And so, look, he's great. He's flawed. Most players are flawed. All players are flawed. No player is perfect. His flaws are loud. He makes loud mistakes. He makes mistakes that are easy to see and easy to criticize. And the criticism very often is really fair. You know, he is ball dominant. He does not really want to play in a system where the ball moves and he gives it up and gets it back later. He's never been a good open spot-up shooter. He's okay, but he shoots off the dribble too much from behind the three-point line. He's the worst three-point shooter in the history of the league at the volume that he takes. So there are all these criticisms of him that are very legitimate. I think he can be difficult. He's certainly difficult for us from a media standpoint to deal with, but I think he can be difficult for people in an organization as well. And so I just think there's so much with him. He's complicated, and it's hard to say, like, oh, you know, he gets unfairly criticized. Oh, people overhype him. He's just somewhere in the middle like most people. It's just he's in the middle of more dramatic extremes than most players.
And I like what you say. When it's with Russ, it's always loud and full speed ahead. Another moment or two with Brett Dawson of The Athletic. Covers the Oklahoma City Thunder like a glove. All right, Brett, now we got to get to what's next for the Thunder. You mentioned the 8 draft picks, and it's interesting. The franchise you used to cover, these Pelicans, they're hitting the restart button as well. I know that Oklahoma City doesn't have Zion Williamson coming in, but how would you describe what's ahead of Sam Presti?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the Pelicans are starting with something that the Thunder don't have, obviously. They have the number one pick, and that behooves you to try to make some moves in the short term that maybe you might not make if you don't have it. The Thunder are starting with something the Pelicans don't have, and that is a decade of relevance.
Yep.
And a franchise that has proven it can build a winner. So, you know, you're starting from very different places and with very different things. What I think the Thunder can feel good about right now, and they don't feel good, we shouldn't say that, they're excited about what comes next. I think they're excited about the chance to do this. It's very hard to have star players say it's time to move on, even if you agree that it's time to move on. If this iteration of your team wasn't working, it's still hard to have players who you value, and particularly one like Westbrook, who you had for so long, make this decision. So it's difficult. But what I think they can be excited about is, unlike a lot of teams, they really do have a head start. And it's not just the draft picks. They did get 8 draft picks by trading 3 players this week. Jeremy Grant, we haven't talked about, and that's a much more minor trade. But they also, I think they feel like the one thing they've got in this rebuild beyond the picks is they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who isn't a guy that you're drafting and hoping can play in the NBA. He's a guy who you watched with the Clippers play in the NBA. You know he's a good player, and you know he's just getting started. He turned 21 today, of all things. What a day for him to turn 21. But, you know, for the heir apparent to Westbrook, they have his birthday the day after all this happened. But they feel like he's the foundational piece, I think. I think they feel like he is the point guard who's going to get them to the next phase. It's going to be a process. It's going to take some time. They're not going to rush through it. But these draft assets they have run through 2026. They're going to play a long game here. That could mean that they bottom out and they try to get some really good players in the draft. It could mean that they are a mid-level team that tries to get, you know, the lower stages of the lottery. You try to replenish your team that way. You package some draft picks and try to get some players to build around Gilgeous Alexander. They have a lot of options. It's fairly safe to say nobody's ever had the number of options ahead of them that they do. Now the trick is they reached a very high height. You know, they never won the title. They got almost as close as you can get. They got to the finals. They went to 4 Western Conference finals with that iteration of the Thunder. That's really hard to replicate. But that's what they're going to try now is they're going to try to find the next great era for their team. And that takes time to get there. So they're going to have a bump in the road here. You know, what it looks like next year is really almost immaterial. It's going to be a long game to get back. And their goal is to get back to a point where you have another decade of sustained success and relevance.
Brett, always fun to catch up. I know it's been a while. Continue the great work at The Athletic and safe travels.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
Fascinating for Brett Dawson. Again, let's hit a break. We'll get back to this subject, and we'll start taking your opinions on the matter. We're hanging out live at Ruffino's on the River, wine by the glass, half off here in the bar area for the duration of the show. And, hey, that just happens to be another 2 hours. Weather here, still holding up just fine. River level, yeah, it's awfully low, so come have a great time with us. Again, at Ruffino's on the River. Time to celebrate life, Acadiana. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Right back in, 34 minutes after 4 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live out at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Always fun to catch up with Brett Dawson. OKC perspective on last night's big trade, and probably one of your final dominoes to fall during this crazy free agency period. I think maybe the last one is, where does CP3 land? A lot of conjecture about the Miami Heat. Time will tell, but certainly that was a pretty big one. And it's going to impact the West in a moment. I'll ask your opinion on who's the best in the West. Our next scheduled interview in about 40 minutes. Earlier today, Lee DeLeon was named the executive director of the RCAF, taking over for Jim Harris, and we'll have him on the program. Just what's he think about joining the party here in Cajun Country and some of the things that he took away from time at LSU? Yeah, way back in the day. He started kind of on the bottom level as a marketing assistant. So excited about having Lee DeLeon on the program at 5:15. But before any of that, we recognize sports are a release, but we understand everybody right now in our area dealing with very real life. And so let's get you the latest on Tropical Storm Barry. Clint, what can you tell them?
The pure basics, Ben, I think we got to look at where it's going to be headed towards, and it'll be headed towards Lafayette. I want to passing over Lafayette, and it's still a slow-moving system. So I think the biggest thing you're going to expect is a lot of rain. It'll likely make landfall as a Category 1 hurricane. It's starting to get a lot of strength right now and expected to make landfall more towards St. Mary Parish. It'll be towards Morgan City at around 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, to make sure you are as prepared as humanly possible for everything that's going to be coming over the next, let's say, 12 hours.
And I do want to share this while we're on the subject, and I'll just give an anonymous shout-out to a good Samaritan here who's passed along lily pad and shelter locations. In case you're unfamiliar, lily pad, these are temporary transfer spots, right? This is where flood victims can be brought from boats and then transferred to shelters. Let me share some of those with you while I can. The Scott Police Department has announced they'll have a lily pad drop-off location at the Scott City Hall, 125 Lions Club Road, and then also some temporary shelter at the Scott Community Center of the same address. In Broussard, you've got a drop-off only lily pad operation at 108 Broadview Drive in Broussard. In Youngsville, a lily pad transfer spot at Almanaster Road at Doral Drive, and then a temporary shelter at Ernest Gallet Elementary, 21901 East Milton Avenue. Excuse me. In Doosan, drop-off only. So, again, that's a lily pad temporary fire station in Doosan. That's going to be 1100 South Richfield in Karen Crow. A lily pad drop-off in at the Karen Crow Community Center, 5115 North University, and a shelter at Karen Crow High School, 721 West Butcher Switch Road. Finally, you've got two lily pads that are here within Lafayette Parish, one at Judice Middle School, 2645 South Fieldspan Road, and the Barnes & Noble on Johnston Street. That's 5705 Johnston. So as you may come across people that need help, have those in mind. If you yourself require anything, make sure that you have any or all of that. If you're not sure what you just heard, we have plenty that we can update you on at our website, 1037thegame.com. Keep up with our live updated blog, and you're welcome to call Clint as well. 706-0111. All right, CD. It's the 4 o'clock hour. We've updated everybody on what is coming, what they can do to stay dry, stay safe, and get out of harm's way. Now let's have a little bit of fun with our, might have to rename it today, our, let's just call it what it is, the Sink or Swim question of the day.
Exciting and new.
Here's the good news. You're not going to have to say sink or swim, not that type of question. Let me ask you what I have in mind, though. With all the moves we've seen, many of them, most of them, in fact, impacting Western Conference squads in the NBA, who's your favorite for this coming season in the NBA Western Conference? Call us up. Let us know. Give us a team name and tell us why. 706-0111. CD, lead us off.
I said it at the beginning of the week. I'll say it again at the end of the week. The Western Conference favorite for me has to be the Los Angeles Clippers. The moves they made in the last week, I feel like they're going to be a lot more impactful as opposed to what we're seeing right now with the Houston Rockets. Because it feels like to me you put two kind of players that have that ball hog mentality in Russell Westbrook and James Harden. They can wind up doing a lot more harm than good, especially when it comes to kind of the locker room chemistry and having that happen. Because I feel like if you have these guys arguing over who has the ball more, that winds up causing a lot of problems. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen there. But again, I am sticking with what I said on Monday and going with the Los Angeles Clippers.
I could see the Rockets being anywhere between the 4 and maybe the 6 seed in the Western Conference. Now, we know they've been better than that these last couple of years. So I'm with you. I think the combination in the backcourt of CP3 and basically a consistent MVP level, James Harden, is probably going to be a better overall combination of what they'll have right now. And I'm going to call my shot right now as well. Here we are, July 12th. There will be an extended period of time where one of those players is injured. Might be, I say extended. I hope it doesn't happen either, right? Understand I'm not wishing it upon Westbrook or Harden. But there will be at least a six-game stretch. Why don't we put it that way? Where one of those guys is forced to be on the shelf. The other guy's going to go absolutely ham, and they're going to win a lot of games. Everybody's going to say, now, wait a minute. Are we sure they had to team up to be better, right? Are we sure the sum of their parts is better than who they are kind of individually? I'm just going to call my shot there. But I'm not answering questions that have been asked. So let me get down to brass tacks. I'm with you, Clint. It might be the Clippers. If it's not, it'll be the Utah Jazz. And you laugh all you want at that. I'm big on saying hard to get there if you haven't started to make the climb and failed a little bit. And we've seen that time and again in sports. But I don't think that is exclusively the rule these days. The Toronto Raptors, I'm not accepting their path as a group that just kept knocking on the door and finally they broke through. BS. They completely revamped their best player and their head coach. No. They were not knocking on the door, even though they were a one seed for all those years with Sam Mitchell as the head coach and DeMar DeRozan as their best player. They completely restarted and then immediately won the world championship, and now they're just going to be mediocre again. And so I don't think it necessarily has to be that way. The Jazz have been a playoff team since Donovan Mitchell came over from Louisville, but consider what they have and what they've added. Donovan Mitchell, one of the best young shooting guards in the game, that's not questioned. Rudy Gobert, one of the best centers in the game, a guy that wakes up in the morning, is in a top three finisher for the defensive player of the year, growing as an offensive threat. But then they went out and added one of the most underrated point guards in the league. He doesn't have a lot left in those legs, but for the next, I don't know, 2-3 years, Mike Conley from the Memphis Grizzlies going to look awfully nice in a Jazz uni, better than Ricky Rubio ever did, in my opinion. We talked about CP3 as opposed to Russell Westbrook and playing in Houston. Fit is everything. Conley, I think, has a chance to fit very well with this Jazz team. And then they brought in another underrated small forward, Bojan Bogdanović from the Indiana Pacers. You watch the association, you know who he is. You don't, let me just share with you that he scored 18 points a game last year. And that was a pretty darn good Pacers team as well. That is basically as deep of a quality starting four that you can ask for. And you're going to line those guys up with, well, they got their chance to trot a bunch of different guys out there. Here's my point, Clint. The Clippers probably are a little more top-heavy with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And Pat Beverly's real nice running the point as well. But the Jazz might have a better overall four. I mean, that is a really nice squad that they had and that they added to. So I'm going to tell you that, for me, it's kind of 1-1A and put them in whatever order you want. I'm going to tell you that it's the Jazz and the Clippers. If I were having to tell you the team right after that in line for me, no, it's not LeBron, AD, and the Lakers. I honestly believe it's Steve Kerr's Golden State Warriors team. Don't forget, Kevin Durant's the one that's out for all year next season with Brooklyn. Klay Thompson will be back well before the playoff run. And if you think it's going to be fun to watch Westbrook and Harden in Houston, I'll give you another bold statement. 12th day of July. They're not playing these games until basically Halloween. It's going to be more fun to watch D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry while Klay Thompson is out. Just telling you. You can take that to the bank right now. I think you're really going to enjoy that. So, CD, you gave the Clippers. I'm giving the Clippers and the Jazz. It's a soft J, of course. We'll take a quick break, but on the other side, we could take more of your submissions. We got plenty of them coming in on social media. We'll take them via phone as well. 706-0111. I've also got a few updates on the Houston Astros and something that I just saw in the break. Shame on me. It came out midway this afternoon. I'm just now seeing it, but some incredibly sad news surrounding the family member of a former LSU basketball player. So I'll share those details when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back out live from Rufino's on the river on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
The place to satisfy all your cravings. Find delicious ice creams, fresh fudges and truffles, hot dogs.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in just about 10 minutes until 5 o'clock. You've got Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live out at Rufino's on the river on 103.7 The Game. Well, this isn't fun, and the only way to tell you is just to tell you. But news came from the New Haven Register in Connecticut this afternoon reporting that father of Tremont Waters, Edward Waters Jr., committed suicide yesterday afternoon in a New Haven motel, a Super 8 motel. Edward Waters Jr., that is, 49 years young. So just an incredibly tragic story. Waters, we know, a storied two-year run, Trey Waters at LSU, and he's played pretty well so far in limited run in summer league action, well enough that when Shea Dixon asked me earlier this week if he would earn a two-way deal, that has actually happened since. And so this just incredibly sad news for that young man and his family. And so our prayers go out. It has been that kind of week and a half is about all I could tell you. And I saw this, and there's just not a lot of words for it. And so I'm not going to try and put too much more on it. But Trey Waters, a late second-round pick of the Boston Celtics, he'll have an opportunity to stick in the league. And, of course, at this point, all thoughts aren't focused on that, but for any and everyone that loved watching him play college basketball at LSU. Make sure to keep him, his family, in your thoughts, and if you're so inclined, your prayers at this moment. Transitioning away from that, there is a bit of an update on the Houston Astros front. First, with the player coming up, a player moving down, and then with the former LSU Tiger. So we'll get to that and end hour number one. The Astros moved Carlos Correa to the 60-day injured list, and they did that to make room for Joe Smith, who has been activated. Smith going to take the place of kind of a lower-level pitcher who was slated to start this coming Tuesday for the Astros. Obviously, that will not happen, but Smith, with more experience, going to make his way back up to the big club. I wouldn't read too much about this news, and it just hit the wires an hour ago. Wouldn't read too much into the Carlos Correa part of things. I mean, really and truly, this is just kind of slotting guys where you have to. I mean, this is more of a designation type of deal and moving pieces so that you can accommodate everyone that you want up when you want them up. But there you have it. Correa to the 60-day IL. And CD, as memory serves, is he really the only one at this point? I'm about to touch on Alex Bregman, but is he the only one that has hit the injured list so far of kind of repute that hasn't made it back this season for Houston?
It's definitely rough to kind of see what's been going on with the Astros and Carlos Correa, just another one. 60-day injured list. Didn't expect that, but, you know, whenever you have whatever happened with him behind closed doors, that's just what happened, but it's a tough break for the Astros. And then you brought up Bregman. That was a tough break for him last night, getting hit all.
Well, let me get to that. I don't think you understood the question. I think he's the only one I'm mentioning, Correa, that's hit the injured list that hasn't come back. And so my point being that they've been able to recoup, McHugh, and then Altuve a couple of different times. They lost Springer, got him back. So they're just about back to full health at this point. But, yeah, let me get to that Bregman news because I hadn't introduced that yet. But Bregman, not in today's lineup. Again, this is as of about an hour ago. The Astros still evaluating him for a head injury. Now, here's the deal. And Clint just started to reference it. He's right. Last night, bottom of the third inning, Bregs left the ball game after a bad hop, struck him on the chin. Not only drew blood, but it left him, if you saw it, and again, it was actually on the mothership last night on television, it left him looking a little disoriented. And so, post-game, our good friend Brian McTaggart of MLB.com reported that the Astros are citing a chin laceration. So then you would point toward the drawing blood side of things. Well, today, the latest reports are that he's being evaluated for head injury, so maybe they did a little bit of window dressing there to start with, because if they're evaluating him for a head injury, that might point a little more in the camp of disoriented, hopefully not concussion. But with Alex Bregman, he will not be in the lineup tonight. Astros, game two of their set at the Rangers, and Gerrit Cole will take them out against Jesse Chavez. So there you have it, the latest on the Houston Astros. Correa moved to the 60-day IL. I'm still not convinced that means that they are certain his injury is going to be longer in term. I think this might be a little bit of shuffling to get Joe Smith and some guys up when they need it. We'll see if this designation changes again for Correa. But if not, yeah, they're going to have to continue to backfill for the young shortstop for the foreseeable future. And so Joe Smith up, Carlos Correa moved over to the 60-day IL, and Alex Bregman not going to be in the lineup tonight as the Astros will play game two at Arlington. So just about at the end of hour number one, Brett Dawson gave us the OKC side of things when it comes to the Thunder moving on from Russell Westbrook. Not a lot of discussion about bringing on Chris Paul, because I think it's understood that it'll be a quick stay. Maybe don't unpack a bag. Definitely don't rent a place. CP3 will be moving on. I don't expect him to stay in Oklahoma City. And it didn't sound like Brett Dawson did either. I'll look forward to getting more of the Houston side. In the coming days and weeks, we will do that. Obviously, the NBA is still several months away, but that's where we're at right now. Baseball, after the home run derby, the All-Star game, they took a little hiatus. Not hot and heavy right now. Don't have a whole lot on the college side today. Better believe we will Monday with RP3 and company and the famous Clint D as well at SEC Media Days in Hoover. But right now, all the big news seemingly coming out of the NBA. But there is a little bit that was made locally this morning when the Raging Cajuns named Lee DeLeon as the new executive director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. Don't forget, a little less than 20 minutes from right now, he will join our show. His first day on the job is Tuesday. He gets to meet the press officially today. We're excited about that. But before any of it, Clint, let's wind down our number one, and we'll do that with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Nasty. And I got to be honest, I made a joke out of it earlier, that ancient Fountain of Youth, Texas Rangers starting rotation. Call it what you will. I can make all the jokes I want. But Lance Lynn was dealing last night. And the Rangers not quite nipping at the heels of the Stros in the AL West. But I wouldn't take them for granted. And this is always a fun matchup in the Lone Star State. But these are going to be important games, not just this week, but especially moving forward, all the times that the Astros and Rangers will encounter one another. But it'll be interesting to see if some of these guys, Cole Hamels, Lance Lynn, are you kidding me? Are these Fokies really going to be able to keep it up and out-duel? Well, I guess the Stros have at least one of their own in Justin Verlander. But can they continue to be better than Garrett Cole and maybe Framber Valdez like last night? Time will tell. But I got to give him his props. Lance Lynn was dealing. He was nasty last night. That's the final word of this hour. And it's brought to you by the Village Station. They are your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank when you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're coming right back to Rufino's on the River. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We're off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Rufino's on the River on 1037 The Game. Big guest coming aboard. Almost 10 minutes from this moment, Lee DeLeon, named earlier today as the executive director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. First day on the job, as Clint told you during the two-minute drill, Tuesday of next week. We'll get him this afternoon. Excited to bring him aboard on the program. Excited to have you here, and I understand that Tropical Storm Barry is bearing down on the Acadiana area. I get it. I hope you're still not making your last-minute preparations. What I can tell you is this. And you'll just have to take my word for it. I turn around, look over my left shoulder. It's absolutely beautiful. You've got people right now that are getting an afternoon walk and jog in across the bridge. So right now, water level is low. The sun is out. I'm sure that we would all agree it's the calm before the storm. But if you get a chance, come out and join us. I'll be out here until 6:30 live on the air. And until then, they've got wine by the glass half off in the bar area. All right, CD, let's leave with the biggest news of the day. Nationwide, from the world of sports, the Thunder have agreed to a trade sending lifetime OKC Thunder player Russell Westbrook to the Rockets for Chris Paul, a first-rounder in 2024, a first-rounder in 2026, and then a couple of pick swaps over the next 5 years. Here's what I really, really believe, because I see a parallel. We discussed it with Brett Dawson of The Athletic in Hour 1. I see a huge parallel between the Thunder and the Pelicans, because I understand just how many picks, how many future assets have been sent the way of the Thunder and the Pels. One of the big differences, obviously, objectively too, I would rather be on the New Orleans side because, well, Zion, one word, period. I also like the Pels side because I just like the immediacy of playing with Jrue Holiday as your best player. And I'm not sure that OKC has that. After Paul George left, after Russell Westbrook, we learned last night, going to the Houston Rockets, only a few years removed from Victor Oladipo leaving and becoming the association's best and most improved player from a couple of years ago with the Pacers. And so my line of thinking is this. Houston, to me, equals the Los Angeles Lakers. Because both teams, the Rockets and the Lakers, had to make deals and kind of had to, well, shoot their shot. That's the polite way of saying it. And mortgage the future to try to win right now. And so Houston's playing to win right now with D'Antoni at the helm and with the combination of Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And I'm not going to throw out a really nice rim-protecting big in Clint Capella, somebody who I've said for some time would look great as a New Orleans Pelican. But that's a nice nucleus that Houston has. They've been one of the top seeds in the Western Conference the last few years. Will that continue? Will they advance any further in the playoffs? I personally don't think so. But you tell me, did Houston get a good deal here? And do you think the Rockets got the better end of this deal? Let me know what you think. 706-0111. My answer to that question is no. Because while Houston is the Lakers, I would rather be the either team in the other side of those trades. I'd rather be the Pelicans, and I'd rather be the Thunder. I'd rather have those future assets. I'd rather have a chance at some young up-and-coming players. And it's Gilgeous Alexander that went from the Clippers to the Thunder. And then it's a trio of players that went, as we know, from the Lakers to the Pels. I would rather be on the rebuilding side with a lot of cap space, a lot of draft picks, some young studs. I'd rather be that team in the NBA right now than the one that's got a big 2.5 and is going to try and make a run for 2 or 3 years before everybody gets old before our age. I got to shoot you straight. It caught me off guard, and it made me really kind of take stock when I was reading across the bottom ticker. I saw this deal last night, and I vividly remember not only watching those Thunder teams with Westbrook and Harden and Durant and Ibaka. They were so much fun. I not only watched them, hell, I rooted for them overtly and openly before coming to be a radio show host in Lafayette, Louisiana. I was in Baton Rouge covering LSU, and I loved having the NBA full court pass. I was watching the Thunder every night. I'd stay up and watch the Golden State Warriors before they were kind of what we know them to be now, just living the dream. And that Thunder team was just tremendous. But here's my point. When I read the bottom ticker last night, it said Harden and Westbrook played together in 2009 through 2012. Well, holy hell, that period started 10 years ago. And NBA aging, I mean, that is an eternity. Those guys played together between 7 and 10 years ago. And so much like guys that played with LeBron not long after he entered the league in the middle to end of the odd decade, the shelf life just isn't that much longer. You've got to get the hay in the barn while you can because it just isn't going to last long. LeBron, AD, the rest of the fogies that they've assembled out there, including Boogie Cousins, how long is that window going to be open? I would say 2 to 3 years. The Rockets, I would say 3 to 4 years. But I think that's it. And so to me, I'd rather be the Thunder and I'd rather be the Pelicans. Just kind of thinking out loud. All right, we're hanging out at Rufino's on the River. Wine by the glass, half off between now and 6:30. I said that, and the lovely couple that just walked in looked over. Yeah, okay. It's a pro tip right there. They could take me up on that. Smiles all around. See, I'm doing my job today. And we got more opportunities for you to come and do the exact same thing. As I mentioned, other side of this break, we will have Lee DeLeon aboard, the new executive director of the RCAF. And one of the things I'm excited to ask him about, certainly he's got experience in South Louisiana. How do I know that? In the press release today, mentions that DeLeon, well, he began his career in college athletics at LSU in 2005 as a marketing assistant. Oh, what a difference 14 years can make. Between now and then, he has also, during a period of time, been the youngest Division I athletics director in the country. This guy's got mad experience, and he's bringing it to Lafayette. Everybody, I believe, should be excited about that. We'll get a little more of a taste of what he's about, what he's excited about when we return. And then at 6:15, as we end today's program, a Q&A replay with Shea Dixon. Go247.com, the latest on recruiting inside the state of Louisiana and where Ed Ogeron, LSU, stand in the 2020 cycle. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, getting you ready for Astros and Rangers baseball beginning at 6:30, and all on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Right back in, and yeah. Been a pretty busy and exciting day for our next guest. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love with you and hanging out live at Ruffino's on the River. And it's our pleasure to bring aboard now the Artco Equipment Hotline. Named this morning, the Executive Director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation, Lee De Leon. Lee, welcome to the program. I'm sure it's been a whirlwind day for you. How are you?
I'm great, Ben. Thanks for having me. It's been crazy, but it's been awesome. My family and I are thrilled to join the Raging Cajun fan base and be a part of the UL culture and the university there in Lafayette. We are just thrilled to death. Can't wait to get there and get started.
And there are so many impressive stops, impressive feats on your resume, but people always want to know, okay, well, do he and his family have experience in South Louisiana? And that's what jumped out to me. 2005, a marketing assistant at LSU. Tell me
Bad
about
news.
That. How you climbed the ladder, yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks for noticing that. It seems like forever ago. July 5th, 2005, I started as a marketing assistant at LSU. That was my first ever full-time job. I mean, literally went straight from grad school to Baton Rouge and started my career, there at LSU, and I loved it. And I know UL and Lafayette is very different from Baton Rouge, but just being in that area, the country is exactly where we want to be. It's kind of the geographical footprint that my family and I are most comfortable. You know, we were not planning on only being at Purdue for a year. When we uprooted and moved to the Midwest last June, we thought that it was going to be for a while. We bought a house and really tried to get acclimated, but it was just not a good fit for us. We were not comfortable in the Midwest. The weather was way too cold. The people were just a little bit different, and it just never felt like home. I remember going to our first restaurant. My son ordered a sweet tea, and they said they didn't have it. And then he ordered a Dr. Pepper. They said they didn't have that. And he looked at me and was like, "Where did you move me?" So we're excited to be back in the land of sweet tea and Dr. Pepper, that's for sure.
That is beautiful. Lee De Leon, our guest, the new executive director of the RCAF, and you kind of referenced the stop in Purdue. You've been in New Mexico, Arizona, amongst other stops. But tell us about what you took away, maybe the big ticket items from being, at the time, the youngest D1 athletics director in the country. That was 2014 to 2018 at Abilene Christian.
Yep, ACU is in the same conference as Nichols and McNeese and Southeastern, so we spent a lot of time up and down the I-10 corridor, and I know those schools in that area of the country well. You know, being a Division I AD was unbelievable. It was a dream of mine since I was in college. It was about 2001, 2002, when I was an undergrad at Notre Dame, that I decided to be an athletic director one day. And to get to, reach that milestone at a young age was an incredible blessing, and I learned a ton. But to be honest with you, Ben, I wasn't really ready. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I felt like I was shooting from the hip a little bit. And so after doing that for 3.5 years, I realized, A, I missed big time, FBS level sports, diehard, passionate fans and, really packed houses and, sold out arenas. I missed that. But then I also wanted to go and learn from somebody really good and to be mentored and be groomed. And Brian Maggard is that kind of guy. I mean, Dr. Maggard is really polished, respected and well-regarded athletic director who I think I can learn a lot from. And I'm excited to get to be a part of his executive team and help him lead the athletic department and run the whole organization. My passion is fundraising. My background is fundraising. That is absolutely 100% my primary focus. But I'm also excited to learn from Brian about how to be a high-level Division I athletic director. and he's going to be a great mentor for me.
Lee, I'm glad you mentioned Dr. Maggard and some of the things that attract you to working with him. Give me some other things about this overall athletic department, the 16 sports programs, some of these dangling carrots that made this an attractive opportunity.
Well, being from Houston, you know, I've always admired the Raging Cajun fan base and just how diehard and loyal that they are. And that's the kind of guy that I am. I was not a student athlete or a coach, unlike a lot of athletic directors and administrators. I came up through just being a fan of college athletics. And so I've always had a respect and an admiration for Raging Cajun Nation, if you can call it that, and the way that they support their teams. And so that was a huge draw. Secondly, you know, I just love the recent success. You know, the softball team has showed that you can be a top 10 program at a consistent level. And I think that they've kind of laid the groundwork of how to do that across the board. You know, I think some of the hires that Brian has made with football, with soccer, with softball, and you know, the hire that he's going to make here soon with baseball, I just feel like there's a ton of momentum around the program. And then, you know, the RCAF board, the executive committee that I met, you know, Brian Hanks and Sam Landers and those people that I got to meet through the process, which is super impressed by them and was really attracted to come and work with them and serve the RCAF donors and the UL student athletes with them. So a lot of things truly the job. It was a very easy decision for my family and I. Like I said, we already bought a house, going to live in Grand Point neighborhood, and just really excited to get there and get going. This is a perfect fit for my family and me.
He starts on Tuesday. He's got another few moments with us today. New executive director of the RCF, Lee DeLeon, our guest. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you this, but maybe compared to some of the other established athletic foundations around the country, and it's not just an LSU-TAF thing, but this one, relatively speaking, in its infancy, what opportunities does that present?
Well, this job is very similar to the job I had in New Mexico, where I was the executive director of the Lobo Club, which is a fundraising arm for University of New Mexico Athletics. That organization has been around since 1932. RCAF has been around since 2009. It's only 10 years old. So think about that. That New Mexico had an organization, almost 80 years or whatever, older than RCAF. And so, you're correct in saying that RCAF is somewhat in its infancy. But I think at the same time, that's exciting because you can help mold it and form it and get it into, the type of fundraising organization that it can and should be. You know, there's 2,700 members of RCAF right now. That number's got to grow. I mean, again, New Mexico, which I think is a smaller program than Lafayette from a national standpoint, from a fan base standpoint, but they have 4,500 members. So, it's really a lot of room to grow with RCAF, and I think the number of alumni that live in that area that are up and down I-10, I mean, I'm going to be tearing up that highway just going from Houston to New Orleans back and forth and back and forth, just meeting with people, because there's so many people within driving range that are alums and fans of UL that we got to get them to step up. And it's my job to get out there and build relationships and ask people for their support, because they can't give if you don't ask them, right?
Well, here's the good news, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, but now that people can only spend $2 and get a beer in Cajun Field, they got some more to donate,
They got some more discretionary income, right? Exactly right. I was shocked when I saw those concession prices, but again, Brian is really, really thinking outside the box. Him and Nico Yanko, I think, are really talented, creative people that are doing things differently. But I think it's going to be very successful. And so there's a ton of momentum around the program, and I'm just really humbled and honored to get to be a part of it.
Oh, before we let you go, I have no problem telling you, my wife and I have been members now. This will be our third year of the RCAF.
All right.
We certainly see the benefits here in the Acadiana area. And anything we can do to help you, reach out. Let us know, brother.
I appreciate it. I can't wait to meet you. I'll be there on Tuesday. Let's get together soon. And can't wait to meet all the other Raging Cajuns out there.
That's a deal. And that's Lee DeLeon. Busy, busy day. But it's going to stay that way for him for a while. And I'm sure, again, not having met him in person, but just talking with him there, that he wouldn't have it any other way. And I don't always give all the plaudits, right? All the feats in front of him. Don't want to embarrass the guy, but he knows what his track record is, so I'll share that with you. We got a minute or so before the break. Guy got his bachelor's degree from Notre Dame, master's in sports management from Texas A&M. Again, he says he was unqualified, or maybe he didn't say it that way, but he said he didn't quite know what he was in for, maybe. He was the youngest AD in the country at Abilene Christian, so incredible. Some of the stops he's made, very impressive candidate, and according to the release, as you would expect, they had a number of attractive options to put into this spot. And the guy who was there last, Jim Harris, friend of the program as well, this program that is, B2BS, he's moved on to a job at Maryland. So certainly there are opportunities here for somebody to dig their feet in and really grow something. And I'm hoping that he does that. Why? I live in Lafayette. Why wouldn't I want things to be booming here? So great to catch up with Lee DeLeon on the day of his announced undertaking. But again, Tuesday is his first day. There will be a press conference Wednesday at 10 a.m. Everyone else can go chop up that audio. We'll just stick with ours. All right, we're just about at the halfway point of hour number two. When we return, time to take some of your phone calls. 706-0111. We'll throw a little bit of shade as well, as we are wont to do each and every day in the 5 o'clock hour. Grayson Allen, you just can't help yourself, can you? Yeah, we'll get to that. You're not a Dukie anymore, but you're pulling some Duke stuff with the Boston Celtics. That, plus Clint's going to give you the latest on Tropical Storm Barry and some places you can turn to for a little bit of literature when you need to know where you can go for sandbags. Hopefully you're past that point, but you need to go somewhere for temporary or a little more permanent shelter. Knock on wood, we hope that doesn't happen. Clint's going to give you all that information when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, celebrating life at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Back into Ruffino's on the River. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game. Right now they got the tube on the mothership, and yeah, Chuck Barkley talking about the same thing just about all of us have been. This new dynamic duo that is formed in Houston. The Rockets now coupling back together, reunited. James Harden, Russell Westbrook. I'll continue to tell you, they got a nice little big 2.5 with Clint Capella down in the post. I still am not convinced that they're amongst the absolute best, right? The creme de la creme in the Western Conference. But I do know this, and I haven't said it during the first hour and a half in our program today, so let me say as much right now. We've got the best disparity of big names and talent in the association as we've had in a long, long time. So I think we're coming up on a really, really fun season. And NBA, Adam Silver, seeds that were planted by David Stern, kudos. You've accomplished exactly what you wanted. You've got us talking about the NBA just about year bleeping round now. Thank you for doing this to us. But I will say thank you. As a sports talk radio host, yeah, we could use a little bit of a boost right now. CD, everybody out there listening could use some knowledge as well. I know there isn't much in the way of change since your last update an hour ago, but the latest on Tropical Storm Barry, and then maybe some resources on our website where people can learn more.
Oh, trust me, we've got a lot of resources available on 1037thegame.com, including the latest update that was released by the National Hurricane Center at 4 o'clock. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details because there's a lot of things that maybe just don't necessarily translate as well to radio, but the too long didn't read version, for those listening, I have to say it's going to wind up passing directly over Lafayette based off of the projections. It'll be moving a little bit northwest as it gets ready to make landfall on Saturday morning, more towards Morgan City. So it's going to basically kind of hit on over, which means a lot of rain is going to be hitting the Acadian area.
Yeah, a lot of rain. We're hoping sooner than later this is able to pass through. The winds aren't going to be as violent as so many hurricanes that we've dealt with in South Louisiana. But again, that's not the reality. I've said this to so many people over the course of this week. I just don't remember. And no, this isn't one of those get off my lawn, I'm old and grumpy statements, right? It's not a back in my day statement, except it kind of is. I don't remember growing up in South Louisiana in the early to mid 90s. I don't remember storms that just hovered and dumped rain for as long as some of the ones we've been experiencing lately. So I'm hoping that won't be the case with this weather event that we're going to endure. But all indications are this one may stay in rain on us for a little while. And by a little while, I mean tomorrow very early morning through a good portion of Sunday. So hopefully it gets out as soon as it can. I'll also repeat something I told you in the 4 o'clock hour, and I'll do it with a little more speed this time. Thanks to an anonymous Good Samaritan out there. I was given the drop on a number of shelter locations, also what are known as either lily pad locations, also high spot locations. And basically this is where boats can drop people off before they're moved to some of these more temporary shelters. There's going to be one at Scott City Hall, more of a drop-off location, and then a shelter at the Scott Community Center at 108 Broadview Drive in Broussard. There's going to be a drop-off center. Youngsville will have a drop-off center at Alamonster Road at Doral Drive. Also, Chemin Metairie, Doral at Highway 92. And then a temporary shelter at Ernest Gallet Elementary. At the fire station in Doosan, they're going to have a drop-off location. Carencro will have a drop-off location at the community center. Carencro High School will be a shelter available to people. And here in Lafayette, there will be more of lily pad high ground drop-offs at Judy's Middle School, as well as the Barnes and Noble on Johnston. And CD, you're chiming in via text. I'll let you bring this to the air because you're echoing what I said. You and I are too different in age. You grew up in the Acadiana area. I was over in the capital city in Baton Rouge. But these hovering rain, weather storms, events, whatever you want to call them, I just don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember much either, especially growing up. Mind you, the one big one that I vividly remember, obviously, 1992 was Hurricane Andrew, something I feel like a lot of people just do not want to relive again. I feel like that one, it wasn't as much kind of a long-term just you have all that. It was just a quick-moving storm in and out. And the only other one I can think of recently, this is, I think, what, 2012, if I'm not mistaken, was Hurricane Isaac, which really just hovered around New Orleans for like one or two days, just stayed there. Like, Isaac just wanted to hang out on Bourbon Street for like 2 days.
Yeah, look, you're right. It was New Orleans. It was Reserve. It was all those, you know, areas kind of as you go La Rose, as you go toward New Orleans from Baton Rouge, but certainly into the Big Easy as well. It's just weird. And I don't want to go too long on weather storms throughout South Louisiana. Don't need to give too many flashbacks, as everybody right now is looking for it as well. But, you know, Hurricane Gustav, I was living in Baton Rouge, September of 2001. I went to the LSU App State game, 11 a.m., maybe 11:30, whatever it was, just hot as hell on the final day of August, the next day, September 1, 2008. It was brutal. And, you know, that one didn't hover, but it knocked loose a lot of the urban forestry that was sent askew a little bit in the early 90s by some of the hurricanes. So nonetheless, some information we gave you, a little bit of a trip down hurricane memory lane. Boy, isn't that a fun one, even for a sports show. But that's reality. And so we're talking about it all and sharing it with you today. But I'll underscore one thing Clint said, and then we're throwing shade. Make sure that you go to 1037thegame.com, keep up with our social media pages, and you'll get all the latest news as we're continuing to update our blog, information that might just help you or somebody you know. All right, now it's time for another daily reminder. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and the standing seam metal awnings. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust management, top down, starting with Mark, to sit down with you and then create a vision that they'll fulfill, and they can do it before 2020. They might be able to do it before the Stros make a run to the World Series. But you really better hurry to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center.
Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Clint, some people just cannot help themselves. And it's his first name's going to escape me, of course, but it's Suarez, right? The soccer player who just keeps biting people. It's what he does. And apparently what Grayson Allen does is just punk people on a basketball court when they're not looking and when he shouldn't be. We know about all of his antics playing Duke basketball, right? And kind of he got a reputation as being a Draymond Green type, but even worse at the collegiate level. I mean, all of the tripping over and again and putting his feet where they don't need to go. And he knew what he was doing with those feet. He surfaced again, and so did his antics last night. His Boston Celtics were taking on the Memphis Grizzlies in a summer league game. And yeah, those are important games for guys that are trying to make rosters, earn some bucks, earn some respect, maybe earn some playing time on the big squad. But this was the fourth quarter, CD, of a summer league game. And Grayson Allen absolutely just punked somebody from behind. No other way to say it. Didn't use his feet this time. He didn't like the way a pick was set. But if you watch it, pretty textbook, pretty clean and standard. And Grayson just crushes some guy from behind. The broadcasters crushed him even harder for the remaining moments of that fourth quarter. So I'll encourage you, if you get a chance, go online, search it. Social media, it's everywhere right now. Grayson Allen, dude, get yourself in check. Keep it under control. Or just go to the MMA, brother. Just go to UFC. If you really want to use your hands and grapple that badly, I'll invite you to go do so. Just know one thing. Those guys, they're trained to hit back. And a lot of them, all of them would whoop your ass.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Here you go, Clint. Johnny on the spot with the helper. CD chimes in. Luis Suarez. Yep, that would be him. The biter of the millennium when it comes to professional soccer. But not all sports. Got to leave Mike Tyson his just due as well. Final break in hour number two. Coming right back, taking your phone call. 706-0111. And don't forget, about 30 minutes from right now, Q&A replay with Shea Dixon, the latest on LSU recruiting from our local guru at go247.com. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're hanging out live, celebrating life at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
103.7 The Game.
Here we go. 10 minutes until 6 o'clock. Back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. A little bit of news I can share with you about our destination every Friday, Ruffino's on the River. They will be shut down tomorrow. So the decision's been made, like a lot of establishments in town. Ruffin & Company will shut the doors tomorrow. They will be open tonight. And already we got a number of lovely couples that are here celebrating a little bit. One that looks awfully familiar. We have a couple at the bar as well having fun. Come out and join us while you can. Again, I understand it's going to get worse tomorrow. I know that. But right now I look over my left shoulder and it is beautiful. The sun is shining. The water level in the river, just to be frank with you, lower than it typically is when I come here. So you get a chance, come step out, celebrate a little life. Wine by the glass. Half off here in the bar area for the duration of my show. Plus, well, I don't have to tell you this, but I'll remind you, the best darn food that you're going to have, certainly. You're looking for a steak in Lafayette, you need to come and join me at the place to be, Ruffino's on the River. All right, we've given you news from just about every angle today in the world of sports. With the Astros, Alex Bregman. He will not be in today's lineup. Stroh's still evaluating him for a head injury. We do have a little bit of sound that we can play for you there. Manager A.J. Hinch, his two cents on what happened last night after Bregs had to be removed in the bottom of the third after he took one on the chin.
He's getting evaluated right now, but it sounds like he got 4 stitches in his chin. You know, he was bleeding when I got out there and took a really nasty hop for him. So we'll see how he is.
And it was labeled, according to Brian McTaggart, MLB.com, as a chin laceration last night, but what I just shared with you, that was news circa maybe 2 hours ago, that Breggs being evaluated for a head injury. Again, that's quote-unquote, read into that what you will. But the big news, we've been tracking just about all day long, well, it's the trade, right? And we've had so many of them. I don't know that we can call any of them the trade anymore. We thought for a while it was Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Yeah, locally that had a lot of sizzle, right? A lot of heat behind it. Well, then we've had since kind of the dual trade. Yeah, the ones that brought Kawhi Leonard as a free agent and then Paul George via a trade, respectively, from Toronto and Oklahoma City to the Los Angeles Clippers. And we've had more, right? Kevin Durant to the Nets, Kemba Walker going to Boston. So many players. Kyrie Irving going to the Nets. We can go on for a while. D'Angelo Russell from Brooklyn over to the Golden State Warriors. A lot of big moves, but this one is interesting because it reunites former Thunder buddies, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. They'll both be playing for Mike D'Antoni in Houston. But it leaves Oklahoma City in a very interesting place as well. Let's get some national reaction there. A couple of guys who've been fairly embedded within the association for a while. I know this first guy. We like to lampoon him. Probably shouldn't make fun of him that much anymore. Just discovered that he makes about $6 million a year. But, yeah, this is revered carnival barker Stephen A. Smith. Here's his weigh in, his two cents on the Russell Westbrook trade.
You got dynamic duos all over the place as opposed to triple threats. This is a dynamic duo that can rival anybody's dynamic duo in the NBA. I love it. My only question, Jalen, is about Mike D'Antoni. It ain't about these players.
And see, I disagree. I think I would personally take a couple of the other dynamic duos ahead of those guys. Just me personally. I would take Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, knowing the defensive prowess that I'm getting from both of them, in particular the Claw. Just the way my bread is buttered, I would take those two. And what's funny, before we play this next clip from Chris Broussard, Clint, we opened it up to everybody on Facebook, and I'll let you rattle this off. If you go to the 103.7 The Game Facebook page, we have been getting mad responses. Clint, I'll ask you to not go with the complete back and forth that we've got from two guys that are taking some fun-loving NBA shots at each other, but some of the answers to our sink or swim question, who's your favorite in the West this year? What's Facebook say?
Well, I'll start things off with Brian J. Pels for the love, Houston for the money with some dollar bill emojis. Brandon R. going with the Los Angeles Lakers. Nick D. Pelicans finna shock the world. And then Jamie G. with Houston, if they can share the rock around. That's kind of my big bugaboo, especially with Russell Westbrook and James Harden on the same team now. And then Peter D. goes with the Yas.
That's just a smart man right there. Peter D. and I are thinking in similar patterns there. Yes, I recognize the Clippers should be brilliant this year, but my answer to this question was 1-1-A. You know your boy does some fence sitting. But I gave you the Clippers and then also the Utah Jazz. Utah got a lot better this year. You go form your dynamic duo. I'll roll out Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, and Bojan Bogdanovic as my four. I like where I'm at from there. Time will tell. All right, CD, one more. Then we got to hit our hour break. Chris Broussard, he labeled this move from the Rockets, who, again, were almost forced to get rid of CP3, kind of at that point discontented from playing with James Harden. Chris Broussard said this is a Houston Hail Mary.
Since the trade, I've been in contact with five or six NBA types, some players, ex-players, some executives, scouts, things like that. They all like the trade for Houston. And they're bringing up two things. They're bringing up Houston's going to be able to play much faster with Westbrook, which is true. And they're bringing up the relationship between Russ and James Harden. They like each other. They wanted this. They'll make it work. I still am not buying it. This is a Hail Mary from the Houston Rockets.
When you find yourself agreeing with Chris Broussard, it's time to have a drink. And that's why I am where I am, at Ruffino's on the River. In fact, we're going to take our final hour break of the program. We got 30 more minutes to go on the menu today for us. We're going to come back in, talk a little bit more NBA free agency. I'll share some sad news in case you weren't with us at the end of the 4 o'clock hour involving a family member of a former LSU basketball great. So we'll get to that, take some calls and more to begin hour three, and we'll let you hear a Q&A replay. Great interview with Shea Dixon. Go247.com. You want to know the next player to pop for LSU football? Shea predicted it. The next guy to commit. You'll hear that at 6:15, maybe 6:20. And then at 6:30, we send you to Arlington. The Stros at the Rangers, game two of that series involving Lone Star State clubs in the AL West. So don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, Clint Domingue taking you home. And we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Having fun, staying dry on a Friday. Hope you are too. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Another half hour of the program live from Rufino's on the river on 1037 The Game. Starting to get a better look in this place. Some people coming in. I know it's a calm before the storm atmosphere, but hey, enjoy it while it's here. And you've got time for the next half hour to enjoy the special here. Wine by the glass, half off in the bar area for the duration of our show. But they've got other great specials, food and drinks. Come and check us out. Rufino's on the river. Celebrate a little life at 921 Camellia Boulevard. The famous Clint D, he's joining us from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And before we get into our interview with Shea Dixon here in about 10 minutes, Clint, you want to talk about calm before the storm? This one, I say facetiously, of course, but this is our last 30-minute run before SEC Media Days infiltrates all of our lives. And I'll leave you with this thought. When Miles was at LSU, he was adamant that LSU go as late as they could. He wanted to do as much as they could Monday through Wednesday during the week. They typically flew up on Thursday as late as humanly possible. They went Thursday morning, they got in, they got out of Hoover, nobody stayed overnight, you know, bing, bang, boom, done. That's how Miles liked it done. Last. I find it interesting. Ed Orgeron, and I know he's no longer a spring chicken, right? Entering his third year, I believe, as full-time head coach at LSU. You find it interesting, CD, that Coach O wants to go on Monday. And, yeah, they'll go Monday afternoon, but still. He wants to take that castor oil and get it done with. Look, just get us up on the stage. Let us get our stuff out, and we'll get the hell out of Dodge.
I mean, you know Coach O probably wants to just get this in and get this out. You know, want to be able to get in and get out of Alabama as quickly as possible rather than have to go on, like, Thursday and delay the inevitable. Just get it out of the way on a Monday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure he is as well. And like you said, he's not exactly a spring chicken, but the man is more than looking forward to it. I'm sure he's got plenty of Monster Energy drink lying around somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I don't know if he likes being in the state of Alabama or not, or if he detests it, I should say. But, you know, this to me is interesting. And I'm sure our guy RP3 would have freely admitted this, but if not, I'm outing him a little bit here as far as this being his maiden voyage coming up in Hoover at the SEC Media Days. And, yeah, last year they had it at Atlanta, but he hasn't been to it, you know, regardless of where the location's been. So he and I talked some shop today. I kind of told him what to expect. And when I explained to him what happens on Alabama Day with that main escalator, and Clint, you're going to see it too for the first time. So I just realized I'm informing you for the first time in your life. You have seen it on Twitter, I'm sure. But when you see it in person,
it just means more.
It just feels like watching losers at Comic-Con. And I just said that and alienated probably about half of our audience. But that's what it feels like, right? It feels like watching people who escape mom's basement for a day. They put on all of the crimson and cream that they have, and it's just kind of sad, brother. It's a little sad.
And I can definitely imagine how bad that is just to look at. I would agree with you, but you know, again, I'm kind of a nerd as well, so I take that comment in a little bit of stride there.
The Comic-Con jab, that was a little too much.
It was a little bit too much, kind of a little bit too on the nose. Let's just put it that way. But I have to agree, you know. But it's a different kind of nerd. It's definitely more of a sports oriented
nerd.
And look, that does exist, right?
Yeah.
I guess we're talking at this point about the. Why am I losing my mind here? The Moneyball, right?
Yes.
Type of fan, right? This is the person who can use advanced analytics to twist teams into winners that have no business being winners. So, all right, I get it. I guess I should stop taking my jabs at the nerds. You've turned this into the Jim Rohn show. Congrats, CD.
You're welcome.
Officially, yeah, thanks. Really, it's what I was looking for today before this week ended. So we've been able to morph into the Jim Rohn show for about 30 seconds. And, okay, I just slammed a shot of tequila. We'll get that taste out of our mouths, and we'll move on with B2BS and kind of what we do. But it should be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. And this will be your first run. It'll be Ray's first run. I was thinking about it earlier today. I believe I've attended 6 of them in my life, all of them in Hoover. And the cool part, too, I hope this hasn't changed, but you're going to go up there, and in some ways it's a blast from the past. You get rewinded into like, or rewound, we'll use that word, into like 1994, because you're just crushing Golden Flakes chips and you're drinking, I don't know about RC Cola. I might be dating it a little bit too far back, but certainly Dr. Pepper's going to be there. It's the SEC. It is not a Coca-Cola friendly event. So make sure to let me know if you have any Golden Flakes chips, though. That's kind of the jam.
Oh, I could definitely kind of go down for some Golden Flake chips right about now, man. I know, especially with the hurricane going to be hitting tomorrow, I'm definitely going to try and give me some chips in my system over the next couple of days.
And you know what? Why don't we take a little time for that as well? I know you're going to be a busy, busy man. Tomorrow, still on track, correct, for Under the Dome with you?
I'm almost certain, 99.9% certain, no guests lined up at this time. I'm going to talk to the powers that be just to make sure that we're going to do an Under the Dome, if it just needs to be more news-oriented or what have you, before I can finally start getting in touch with people in terms of guests. But it'll obviously be a lot more informative of a show if we have it.
But in terms of continued coverage of Tropical Storm Barry that could well become Hurricane Barry, on this station, give them the drop on that for the rest of this summer. Oh, sorry, not this summer, this weekend, excuse me.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll definitely be using this protocol for the rest of the summer as well, because obviously we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to hurricane season. It's definitely going to be going on for quite some time, but I think obviously on 103.7 The Game, at the beginning of each hour from here on out, you'll be hearing the big ups to the Louisiana Radio Network for doing this. Hourly updates, we'll be playing these into tonight. After the Astros game, it'd be kind of hard to do that during the Astros game. But after the Astros game wraps up, well into the morning and throughout the day, we'll have Louisiana Radio Network updates, along with, like I said, we'll have a lot more information about what's going on with the hurricane as it's happening here on 103.7 The Game, especially with Under the Dome.
Excellent. And well done, my friend. I know you're working your butt off back there in the 237 Roof Studios.
Yes, indeed.
So thanks for all you do. Thanks for the Jordy Holtberg impression. And we'll be following you here on Acadiana Sports Station, as well as aboard the website, 1037thegame.com. And I can't promise you, you and Ray, you're going to have a blast in Hoover. So take it all in. We're looking forward to the coverage of LSU on Monday throughout the week. It'll all be presented, including the online content, the special videos, behind the scenes, by Ardco Equipment. All right, final break in today's program. When we return, we have fun every Tuesday with Shay D. And if we thank goodness it's Friday, shouldn't we bring him back? We think so. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Murfino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
It's Bumper to Bumper.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
It's Friday. You know this is how we do it. Celebrating life, hanging out at Rafino's on the River. Bumper to Bumper Sports welcomes you back in on 103.7 The Game. We're getting you awfully close to Houston Astros baseball. We'll hope that they don't replicate what happened last night over in Arlington. Ugly 5-0 loss. Lance Lynn put it to the Houston Astros. A little more on that before we end today's program. But we've been promising a Q&A replay of this interview. I think it was one of our best runs of the week. All due respect to Louis Cook, Kevin Fuquay, Vince Derwin, all the great high school coaches that have joined us in the last couple of days. Of course, we hooked up with Cecilia and got the latest from Dennis Skaines, Shane Savoie. Okay, it's been a pretty darn good week. Even started the week with Ruffin Rodrigue, a little symmetry, right, with where we're at now. But part one of two with Shea Dixon. You know, the part where we talk recruiting was fantastic. People always want to know who's going to commit next. I asked Shea that question. We got answers. In fact, Shea went deep on a whole lot in the class of 2020. So buckle up. It's time to bring back in Shea Dixon. Go247.com.
Let's get right down to business. I love asking you this question. I'm sure you get it at least 15 times a day at the Go247.com message board. Who would you guess, Shea, is next to commit to LSU?
I mean, they're sitting on 20 commitments right now, and you can only get to 25. And I think a guy or two will end up not being in the class for one reason or another. So let's say they have, but maybe 7 spots left to fill. I think even as surprising as it might sound, I think that they'll need another receiver, and that sort of jumps out at me in terms of guys who are out there. I would circle Coy Moore, and I say that. You look at LSU's receivers now, they have 3 committed, and all 3 are ranked in the top 7 nationally. So you've got a good feel right there for how good LSU's class is so far. I mean, it is the best class in the country when you talk about wide receivers. They've got Kayshon Boutte, who everyone obviously in the Acadiana area knows. He's a standout football and track guy at Westgate. And then they went coast to coast with it. They went out west to California and got Jermaine Burton, who is kind of your bigger, certainly speedy guy, kind of similar to Boutte in that fashion, but very polished as a receiver. He had a great showing at the opening. And then on the East Coast, you've got Raheem Jarrett out of the D.C. area, who is your slot, fast, kind of shifty playmaker type. And he's been the one that people thought, okay, if LSU loses a commitment, you'd put him in that discussion because he committed sort of out of the blue on a visit. They had been working him hard and were trying to pop him. But even when he committed, he said, hey, look, I'm still going to make all these visits. He's not from around here. And he sort of had a different tone, for instance, than Jermaine Burton, who said, look, I'm 1,000,000% solid. I'm not looking at other schools. So because of that, I think they want to make sure that, look, they're going to add another receiver. They've got a lot of guys on the team who probably won't be on the team anymore after this year in terms of receivers. A guy like Justin Jefferson could have a big year and go pro, and they have a handful of seniors from Derek Dillon to Dee Anderson and that crop. So I like Coy Moore out of Rummel. I just do. I think that he's another slot type. He's had a really good spring and summer. He worked out for the staff in June, and they seem to really like him even more than they had before. So you move him up the board after that kind of performance, like I said, in a camp setting with the coaches there, and then him saying that really he could do it in any day now is kind of how he put it to Billy Embody at Go247 when he talked to him at the opening. He said, I don't have a time frame. It could be tomorrow. It could be in a few months. But often when a kid says that, I think they're nearing the end of their process. So I'll give you Coy Moore and kind of the reasons were explained. But I think they want a big receiver class, and that would about do it for them.
This time last week, Shea, we were not only anticipating the 4th of July, but we got big news, Jaqueline Roy out of U-High. He's going to commit sooner than many people expected. I'll ask you today, 1 week removed, what's the latest buzz on the big D lineman from Baton Rouge?
Yeah, as that was sort of the, it is still the big news of the month so far, is that a guy who may wind up being the number one player in Louisiana, he's number two right now behind Kayshon Boutte, but a defensive lineman, a defensive end at that, and he goes to school on LSU's campus. I mean, for so many reasons. It feels like we've been in a position with this before, right? Like a really important name who's from around Baton Rouge, who may go, even goes to U-High, and LSU's facing off against Bama, and A&M's in that mix too. Those are the 3 finalists. But for him to say, I'm not dragging it to signing day, I have no issue going ahead and doing it now, and you toss in, and I often say, and I'll date you back to a year ago with Ishmael Sopcher, when LSU played Bama, they had every commitment and every kid still on the board was at that game. I mean, it was the must-see game. The LSU-Georgia game. Every kid was at that game. It was the must-see game of the week. And the only guy who wasn't there was Sopcher, and he went to Bama to watch him play Missouri. And you sort of say, okay, if we watch what a kid does and not what they say, and that was kind of telling, at least at that point. And ultimately, he signed with Bama, right? And with Roy, he probably spent every day of the month of June on LSU's campus. And when he wasn't there, it was when he visited A&M and Bama for, you know, a couple of days stretch. But it was every day during the week hanging out up there. And then it goes to the dead period, and he says, look, I'm ready to shut things down. I think as the dust settles, as you said, a week out from him announcing that, or at least declaring that he's going to make this announcement at the end of the month, it's sort of pointing more and more to LSU. And I'll say this, and I give them the lead right now, but if they're able to buckle in and lock this down, as I think that they have, you'd put it up there as maybe the biggest commitment that they'll get this cycle. Will he wind up the highest ranked? I'm not sure. They've got a couple of other guys in that mix. But I do think in terms of importance, for all the reasons that I've listed, Ben, and many people out there, you know, would list off themselves, they can win in the trenches. That's what Ed Orgeron wants. And getting a guy like Roy to stay home would be huge in a head-to-head battle against two teams that you got to play every year. So for many reasons, LSU, they have to win this battle. And I think that the fact that he isn't bringing it all the way to signing day is sort of telling that, hey, look, around this time last year he committed to LSU, and then he said this offseason, look, let me take one last look around. Now he says, okay, I'm ready to be done with it. For me, I think that LSU's got to feel good about it.
One more from me to him. And we're talking to Shea Dixon, go247.com, all in on LSU recruiting. And it's always funny, right? Recruiting, it has to trickle forward. It has to produce into guys that can actually play, not just are projected to play for LSU or wherever they commit and sign. With that in mind, Shea, give us two surprises coming out of this 2019 class that just enrolled.
Yeah, I would. When you say like surprise, like I think people will be surprised to see Ty Davis Price, maybe emerge as just as valuable of option as John Emery is. And John Emery was a 5-star number one running back in the country, but Ty Davis wasn't far off. He was the number 6 running back in the country, so that wouldn't be some major shock. So I'll give you a more immediate play and a long term play. In the near future, I'm not going to be surprised if Cordell Flott plays. And if you don't even know the name, it's because beyond Derek Stingley, they signed all these corners and defensive backs. And really beyond Stingley, it became Mo Hampton is the popular name to talk about, right? He was a baseball guy. He is now going to be LSU's starting center fielder, most likely. He's got that Chad Jones thing going on, playing safety and certainly being a really dynamic baseball player. So I think that those guys sort of grabbed all the headlines, and Flott sort of flew under the radar, but they flipped him from Auburn, and everyone I've talked to about summer workouts, and often we fall victim, right, to falling in love with summer workouts, but or at least what you hear about them and you're not allowed to see, is that Flott's been really good. And I've even kind of heard buzz from some parents who said, look, my kids play against him and alongside him, and said that this kid is the real deal. He should have been talked about way more, and he's long and fast, and just what Corey Raymond likes. So I'll give you a kid they signed out of Alabama and Cordell Flott as maybe someone who plays pretty early on. And my long-term play, and Ben, I've loved him all along, is Charles Turner. And he was the offensive lineman they signed out of IMG, and he played all the positions on the offensive line. I mean, he played center for him, he played the tackle spot, and he played a lot of guard. But when he got here, he was an early enrollee. I think he weighed like 230 pounds. And I'm not anti that, right? Like, kids can put on that kind of weight. It's much easier to add it than shed it in a strength and conditioning program. It lends certainly good weight. And I've heard he's already into the 260s, pushing 270, being here 6 months. You're putting on 25, 30 pounds like that onto a good frame. And they started him at tight end. Remember, like, right when he got here, they were like, look, you're not big enough. You have to play O-line. Now he's on the O-line. And I think with Cole Smith transferring, they need some centers beyond Boyd Cushenberry. And we know that Chasen Hines can play center, but I'm not going to be surprised if they don't give Charles Turner a serious run at that once Cushenberry's gone. So if I had to look at it beyond the specialist, I would bet Charles Turner was like the second or third lowest ranked signee that they had. And I think he's actually going to surprise some people and be a pretty good offensive lineman, which is a position people have been begging for.
Pardon the rhyme, but so nice we played it twice. Maybe you've heard that from me before. I'm not going to apologize for interview excellence. Again, I'm not the one that's driving the bus there. Shea's the one that really makes our early 5 o'clock hour go on Tuesdays. And as we're going toward Houston Astros baseball, our thanks to Shea D for bringing it back again. All right, I mentioned at the top of the segment, speaking of the Astros, took it on the chin last night to begin the unofficial second half of the 2019 campaign. Lance Lynn, he's part of this Fountain of Youth, Texas Rangers starting rotation right now. I don't even remotely get what is going on in Arlington. I was told they stopped juicing, but these old guys are just bawling. And Lance Lynn, who went to an all-star game with my Cardinals back in like 2011, suddenly formidable again. But he shut down the Strohs, his opposite number, Framber Valdez. Well, he put up an ugly number. Valdez gave up 4 runs in 2/3 of an inning. Yikes. I mean, chased before the end of the first frame. So like I said, A.J. Hinch and company looking to turn it around tonight. Garrett Cole, baby, on the mound, 9-5 on the season, coming off an all-star game appearance. Chandler Rome says he deserves it. Ben, you're a moron. All right, I'll accept that. Tonight it'll be Jesse Chavez going for the Rangers, 3-4 in the year, but pitching awfully well of late. So buckle up. You've got great baseball coming at you. 6:30. In a few moments, it'll be Astro Launch, 7:05 first pitch from just outside of Dallas. For all of our great guests today, I do want to thank Brett Dawson in particular, making time. Covers Oklahoma City Thunder basketball for The Athletic. We had Lee DeLeon come aboard, new executive director of the RCAF. For all of them, for all of you, and for the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love. Stay safe this weekend. We know we're going to catch you Monday beginning at 4 o'clock. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Live from Rufino's on the river on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.